listeners. This is Matthew Bullis back again from Phoenix, Arizona. And this time I'm here to review something called the Griffin Power Mate. Now, it's one of the neatest things that just came out. And I'm here to describe what it does. And what it is, basically, is a volume knob or a jog wheel for your computer. And it feels just like a volume knob that you'd find on a stereo. It has several different functions to it. And it's made of brushed aluminum. So it has a really nice feel to it. It hooks up through your USB port. And it costs about $45. And it's made by Griffin Technology. You can order it from griffintechnology.com for $45. And also from a place called ThinkGeek, which is where I ordered it from. Because ThinkGeek has all sorts of weird computer gadgets. You'll probably want to order a bunch of other things from ThinkGeek, because they have really interesting things. I won't go into everything they have, but this review is for the Griffin PowerMate. This Griffin PowerMate, as I said, feels just like a volume knob off a stereo, because that's exactly what it is. It's a brushed aluminum knob, and it has a base on it with a glowing light on it, which you can enjoy if you have some vision. On the bottom of it, it has a rubberized base so that it won't skid all over the place when you're using it. And the cord that comes with it is about a foot and a half long, so they give you a 40-inch USB extension cord so that you don't have to deal with the shortness of a cord. I plugged it right into the USB port, and it said, "New hardware found, Griffin PowerMate." So I thought that was pretty neat. This Griffin PowerMate is an assignable controller. Now, unlike joysticks, which I don't believe you can program for specific applications, this PowerMate can have configurations for each application. So that means that whatever application you have that's in focus right now, if you have a configuration for this PowerMate, it will obey that. Now, there are some exceptions. It doesn't know how to yet at this time work with delete and backspace, but they said that they'll try to figure out a way to get that in the future. Before we go into the software, I need to explain how you actually get the CD part open. You'll probably get the hang of it. I don't want you to break it, though. I don't want you to break the CD. To deal with the software CD, how to get this open, put your finger inside the case. You'll feel the CD inside there, and it's pressed up against one side of it. And if you feel in the middle of the case, you'll see a very big indent where the hole would be. And then on the other side, you'll see an indent, but it won't be as deep. Press down on that with your pinky or your thumb. But get your fingernail inside the case and get a hold of the edge of the CD, and you'll feel it pop open. It just takes a little bit of getting used to open that CD. And then snap it back closed when you're done with the CD, when you want to store it. The only thing you have to be aware of when you install the software is that there's going to be a yes and no button and a next button, and you just hit the yes button with your mouse cursor with JAWS, because that'll ask if it wants to search for updates. Mine didn't have any updates for this software. The install of the software is just a regular install. The thing about this is that although it emulates keyboard keystrokes, it doesn't seem to pass the keystrokes in the way that we'd be accustomed to. Like if you're working in SoundForge and you hit your right arrow, if you're using Jim Snowbarger's scripts, you'll hear a little blip of audio. We'll test it out in a while here. But this does hit the right arrow or whatever keys you set it to, but it doesn't give you the feedback, so it must send the keystrokes to the processor a different way than the keyboard does. That's one of my only complaints about the unit. Also, if you're working in Internet Explorer and you set the wheel to use control down arrow for a paragraph, it will not seem to obey that, so there's some sort of problems with that. I'm not sure how to explain it, and I don't know how to fix it, but that's the way the software works. I'm going to show you briefly what I did with Winamp, and then we'll go into the software that I just described. We'll load up Winamp, and I've slowed JAWS down for you.
C / preview hard drive C open 15 music closed 8 of 15. Okay, we'll
hit this Aaron Tippin file, because it's the easiest. Okay. Now the wheel is active because Winamp is active. It's in the focus. Now, I customized this already. So if I hit the wheel once, press down on it once, it stops. I set that to hit the pause key in Winamp. Hopefully they'll design a double click for the software like you would double click a mouse, but at this time they don't have that. So if I hit it again, it'll hit the pause key again and start up play. Now I set the wheel. If I turn it to the right, it'll hit the right arrow. And if I want to go back, I just turn the wheel left. So I can skip along the file like this. So that's a real simple demonstration of what the wheel can do. Now, along with clicking it and turning it, and by the way, if you stop it and you turn the wheel, it's going to advance the arrow keys. I spun the wheel. So Winamp is going to follow along. And it's a very sensitive knob, by the way, so be careful with it. I kind of like to have the lead foot approach, you know, turn it real fast, you know. But if you do that, you get to skip way ahead of time. You can also press down and turn it to the left or the right. Or you can do a long click. We're at the beginning of the file. Now, if I hold it down and then let up, it pressed stop. So I'd have to actually hit the X key to start it on the keyboard. Because they don't have another function that I can hit the X key. Because I used up all the functions. And I didn't want to set the click and turn to hit that. Because it would just... In other words, I need a one-time thing. Just click it and go. So that's the configuration for Winamp. So we'll close out of Winamp and Explorer. And now we'll run the software. And I'll explain to you how you're supposed to use it.
Power main properties dialog. Second. Setting combo box. Sound forge. 3 of 3.
Okay. Now, when you load this software up first, you're going to want to delete the global settings that are there. And I'll show you. It's a checkbox.
Setting add setting button. Setting delete setting button. Setting global only checkbox not checked.
Global only checkbox. You want to leave that unchecked if you're setting an application-specific program. But you want to really delete these global settings because the default, if you click it like I did in Winamp, once, it does a mute, but it does a mute on the whole sound, so you won't hear JAWS, so that's a little dangerous. So go ahead and delete the global setting like I'm going to do right now. I'm going to delete the SoundForge configuration. We'll build it back up in a minute.
Global only checkbox not checked.
So we'll shift tab back.
Setting delete setting but setting add set, setting combo box SoundForge 3 of 3.
Okay, we're focused on the SoundForge because, see, you move your arrows up.
Winamp,
there's the Winamp setting.
Global settings.
There's the global settings that you're going to want to delete.
With SoundForge.
All you have to do is you tab. If you're on the SoundForge,
setting add setting button. Setting delete setting button. Setting global only checkbox not checked. Action user action combo box rotate right 1 of 6.
Okay, those are the user actions, and they are rotate right down arrow.
Rotate left
down arrow.
Click. Long click. Click and rotate right. Click and rotate left.
Okay, those are the settings. We'll move rotate up to right. Rotate right. And tab
action,
over.
Computer action, combo box, send key, 4 of 10.
Send key, that's what we'll most likely use, but here's the other options. Send key is number 4. We'll move up.
Decrease volume, increase volume, no action.
You want to set all these global settings to no action. You're not going to be able to delete the global settings. You won't be able to delete that profile, you'll be able to delete the others, but set everything to no action.
Decrease volume.
Here's the other options.
Cursor down, cursor up, cursor right, cursor left, scroll down, scroll up.
Okay, so...
Send key. Decrease. No action.
So if we set it to no action, shift-tab back.
Action, combo box. Rotate right. 1 of 6. Rotate left.
Move down to rotate left.
Action. Computer action. Combo box. Send key. 4 of 10.
And move all those up to no action. And then hit apply now button. What we're going to do...
Setting. Delete setting button.
Is we're on the SoundForge setting, and we're on the delete setting button. We'll hit that. And we're going to build it up in a minute.
Power 1 dialog. You're about to delete the configuration. SoundForge, are you sure? Okay button.
Yes, we'll delete that.
Setting delete setting button.
Okay, so now we have...
Setting add settings. Setting combo box. Global settings. 1 of 2.
So now all we have is the global settings and the Winamp setting. Now, another thing that the manual mentions, and it's in a PDF format, by the way, which JAWS can now read very well. Use your control page down to read through the manual. It says that when you're making a setting, you can set it to game mode, which I haven't been able to find a checkbox on there like they said I could find. What the game mode does is that, at least from what I understand, when you turn the wheel once and let off of it, it will keep sending that key just like a game mode does. You know, it'll keep sending that key till you turn it or till you press it again. I couldn't find a checkbox for that. That's one thing that I would have liked to have tried out. And also the other thing about the software that's not accessible very well or that doesn't seem to stay where I put it is the sensitivity bar, so that when you turn the wheel, it's more sensitive or less sensitive. Now, I don't know if that's a JAWS thing where I'm not hitting the right thing, but I just can't seem to get the percentage to stay where I need it to stay. Like,
setting app setting button. Setting combo box, global setting, Winamp.
I won't save the changes to the Winamp.
Setting app, setting delete setting, setting global of action user action, action computer action, combo box, send key, 4 of 10, action left right slider, 33%.
There's the slider. Now if I hit the left arrow, you expect it to go to 32%.
22%.
It skips to 22%.
11%.
And the same thing if I hit
0%, 11%,
up arrow or down arrow or
33%,
page up or down.
44%. 55%.
It skips all these percentages, and I haven't figured out a way to manipulate the slider properly. I tried clicking on it with the mouse and other things like that, clicking on it with the mouse keys.
66%.
It doesn't seem to stay where I put it. once I hit apply. It just always goes back to 33. What we're going to do is we're going to... I'm going to cancel out. Cancel out of that. Okay, it took me out of the PowerMate driver software. We'll get back into it. Okay, now the SoundForge is back because I canceled everything that I'd done because I didn't want to change the Winamp at all. We're going to delete the SoundForge and put it back.
Setting, add setting. Setting, delete setting button.
Now, if you hit the add setting, by the way, it's not going to add a setting to the SoundForge. It's going to ask for a new setting. But we're going to delete the SoundForge here.
Power 1 dialog. You're about to delete the configuration. SoundForge, are you sure? Okay button. Setting, delete setting button. Setting, add setting button.
There are two ways you can add a setting. You can browse for the program, or you can open it up. It's easier just to mouse over the software than to browse for it, unless you know which one. So we'll load up SoundForge now. You'll probably have to Alt-Tab into JAWS to get SoundForge to load up. That just seems the way it works. Okay, so we don't need to do anything. We don't need to load any files yet. All we have to do is have the program open.
JAWS, JAWS, Sonic Foundry SoundForge 6.0, Sonic Foundry SoundForge 6.0, play meters.
Okay. We're in SoundForge. We need...
JAWS. PowerMate.
The PowerMate. Okay, we want to add setting.
Setting, setting, add setting button.
Okay, the SoundForge is already open.
Add configuration dialog. Select the currently running application or OK button.
Okay, it didn't read that, and we'll use our JAWS cursor. We turned on the JAWS cursor by insert minus. We rooted JAWS. And now we use our 8 key to move up.
Applicate setting name, configuration 3, page up.
Let me page up with the 9 key and move down with the 2 key, reading it line by line with JAWS cursor.
Select the currently running application, 460X, JFWX.
Those are the currently open applications.
Or, browse button, setting name, configuration 3, application, OK button, cancel button.
OK. Now,
accept route or, JFWF 460X.
That's the one we want, Forge 60. Now, use your insert 4.
X. Forge 60, period.
And tap that till you hear Forge 60, or whatever application you're going to work on. And then hit your left mouse button, which is just above the 8. Hit it once.
Left mouse button. Select the currently running application. List box. Forge 60. X. 1 of 2.
Now, switch back to your cursor with the plus key on the numpad.
PC cursor.
Which is the long key just above the enter key.
Forge 60. X. 1 of 2.
Okay, that's where we are now. Forge 60.
OK button.
Now we hit the OK button, and we'll select that.
Setting, add setting button.
Now we shift tab back.
Setting combo box, Forge 60, 3 of 3.
OK, now I need to correct something here. This is something you'll run into. Let me delete
setting,
this.
Setting, delete setting button. Power 1 dialog, you're about to delete the configuration. Forge 60, are you sure? OK button.
Yeah, we'll setting, delete that, button. So... We'll add
setting, add setting.
Add the
add
setting back.
Configuration dialog. Select the currently running app root job with OK button. Cancel. Set browse or JF Forge 6X. JF Forge 60. Period.
Click left Forge 60 again.
Easy Forge 60. X 102.
Okay, that's what we want.
OK button. Cancel button. Setting name. Edit Forge 60.
Okay.
Browse button. Select the currently running application. List box Forge 60.
Okay, you can shift tab back from the Forge 60 list here.
Browse, setting name, edit, Forge 60.
Now, you most likely don't want that, so we'll type SoundForge in here. And then tab over.
Browse button. Select a currently running application. OK button.
We'll hit OK on that.
Setting, add setting button. Setting combo box, SoundForge, 3
okay,
of 3.
Now we have the name of the setting we actually want, the program name. Now we'll go and configure this.
Setting, add setting button. Setting, delete setting button. Setting global only checkbox not checked.
We don't want to check that or else it'll perform it in any application.
Action user action combo box rotate right 106.
Okay, that's what we want. Rotate right.
Action computer action combo box no action 1010.
Okay, it's currently set for no action. So what we want is send key.
Increase volume. Decrease volume. Send key.
That means when we turn the wheel right, it's going to do this.
Action left right slider 33%.
Okay, leave that alone because it doesn't seem to want to cooperate or stay where we put it.
Action change key button.
Change key. Well, we haven't set a key, so we do need to hit the change key button.
Pulsing pulse during sleep checkbox checked.
This other stuff is visual things.
Pulsing pulse always checkbox not checked. Pulsing left right slider 33%.
That's another slider you can't really change, but that's visual.
Long click length left right slider 12%.
Now that's the long click. That's also something I can't seem to adjust. The sliders are a problem in this program.
OK button.
And there's the OK button.
Pulse, pulse. Action left right slider 33%. Action computer action combo box send key. Action computer action
okay,
combo
that's
box
what we
send,
want.
Key.
Send key.
Action left right slider 33 action change key button.
We want the change key button.
Enter keystroke dialog. Hit to emulate a capsule letter or any other shifted key. Type the key and select the shift button above. OK button.
This is where you need to know how to use your mouse cursor like I told you, because if you hit a key, like if you hit page down and then you hit enter, it's going to say, OK, you want to do enter. No, you don't want to do that because enter does not hit the OK button. Sighted users will just click the mouse over the OK button. What we need to do is switch to our JAWS cursor.
JAWS to PC.
Hit 9 for page up. This is all on the numpad, by the way.
Page up. Modifier keys group box.
Okay, what we have here below on this next line, we're using 2 to move down on the numpad.
Corner control checkbox not checked. Corner roll checkbox not checked. Corner shift checkbox not checked. Corner width checkbox not checked.
Those are the modifier keys, and we use our insert 6 to move over each button.
Alt checkbox not checked. Corner not checked. Alt corner not checked. Shift checkbox not checked. Alt control checkbox not checked.
That's the only one. We want control. Hit your left mouse button once, which is above the 8.
Left mouse button checked. Modifier keys control checkbox checked.
That's control.
Keystroke group box. No key clear button.
In this case, we want the page down when you turn the wheel right.
Page down.
Okay, so now we look at the keystroke box.
Okay, button cancel. Hit to emulate. No key clear button. Keystroke group box. No key clear button.
Okay, looks like we'll have to switch to our PC cursor. Hit the page down, and it won't say anything. Switch back to our JAWS cursor. Okay, now it says page down. Now, instead of hitting enter, because if we hit enter, it'll change to the enter key, which we don't want. We use our 3 key to get
page down
to the end of the screen. Use insert 4.
Above period. OK button.
And you get to the OK button. It sounds more complicated than it really is. You'll get the hang of it real quick. You're on the OK button. Hit your left mouse button, which is above the 8.
Left mouse button, action change key button, PC cursor.
And switch back to your PC cursor so that you're moving in the application. Okay, now we've set that key. Now we shift tab back.
Action left right slider 30, action user action, combo box, rotate right, 106.
Now we set, we move down.
Rotate left.
Rotate left.
Action computer action, combo box, decrease volume, 3 of 10.
No, we don't want that. We want send key.
Send key. Action left right slider 30, action change key button. Enter keystroke dialog. Hit to emulate a capsule letter or any other shifted key. Type the key and select the shift button above.
Okay, for this, we want the page up key. So we hit the page up key, and then you can go into your cursor. So yeah, you can hit the key before you actually go in and select the key. Now if we go back to our JAWS cursor, we want the control key. So we hit the left mouse button over the control, hit 3 to get to the end of the screen, and there's the OK button. Hit the left mouse button.
Action, change key, PC
go back to your PC cursor.
Action left right slider. Third action computer action user action combo box. Rotate left. 2 of 6.
Now we go to the next selection.
Click. Action pulsing poster. Action.
We gotta do the send key.
Combo box. Mute toggle. 2 of 7.
We don't want the mute toggle. We want
open file. Send key.
We want send key.
Action change key button.
We want to change the key. And for this, for click, I'm going to choose enter. Now, that didn't hit the OK button. That said hit enter when I click this. So we're right at the OK button. We click that. Switch back to our PC cursor.
Action user action combo box. Click 3 of 6.
Let's see if we need to do anything else.
Action user action combo box. Long click 4 of 6. Click and rotate right. Click and rotate left.
For this demonstration, I won't really fill those in, but you can if you want. Let me go
setting
and apply this now.
Setting delete, setting add, setting combo box, set copyright to it, help button, apply now button.
We hit space on that. Now it put us to no focus, so
sonic
we have to
sound, jaws, power made
have
problem.
To tab over here and close out the
sonic
application. Now I have a file already that I'm going to be working on, so we'll open it up with SoundForge.
Open dialog, file name, edit, /. MMP.
We'll go into the temp directory and it's called Vital Signs by David Mallet. It's an album that I put on my hard drive. Okay, now I want to show you, once we get into the file, what our limitations are, at least while using the scripts, Jim Stumbarger. But if you don't have them, then you shouldn't notice. I mean, you'll just be scanning like regular. So we'll click the wheel once. And wait for the music to start. Okay. Now we'll turn the wheel. Okay. I told you it was sensitive. That I was doing control page down. Control page down is quite a hefty move, quite a sizable jump in SoundForge. So, what you might want to do is set your regular turn of the wheel to the page down, and then click the hold down where you hold it down and turn it. You might want to do that for the control page down, so they have different degrees of movement. So we'll turn back. Right there, I'm just clicking the wheel. Now, the limitations are that if you're using Jim Snowarger's scripts, if you hit your right arrow, you're hitting the right arrow. And let me switch to the other scanning mode that he has.
Relative.
That's what I mean. I had to switch to the relative scanning mode. So if you're hitting your right arrow, like that, trying to getting things lined up, or your left arrow, it's playing a little bit of the audio. If you turn the wheel and you have it set for left and right arrow, it's going to perform the action. It's going to turn it to the left or the right, but you won't hear it. So it seems to bypass the keyboard. I don't know how to explain it, but whatever it doesn't give the same feedback as the keyboard arrows do, even though you have it set to hit the right arrow. And I'm turning the wheel, by the way, and it is hitting the control page down, and this would be what you'd get if you didn't have Jim Snowbarger's scripts. I'm turning the wheel, and let's see where we end up. Okay, let's see how many minutes we skipped by.
20 minutes, 40.854 seconds.
Okay, yeah, 20 minutes. Okay, so you keep spinning this wheel. It's really sensitive. That's my only complaint about when using it in SoundForge. Now, at this point, I do want to say that this is a wonderful product. I really enjoy this product, and it's a nice jog wheel for things like in Winamp. But I think for SoundForge, it just doesn't quite do it for me. Almost. If they were to do a double click, then I could have a little bit more functionality. Like if I found the beginning of each song on a record that I had in SoundForge, then I could maybe double click and it would hit the M key for a mark. Or if I triple clicked, it would hit the out point for editing. But at this time, they don't have that. And also, I'd like to hear it as I'm scanning through and maybe be able to change the sensitivity of the wheel. What I think I'm going to do, and I will probably review it, if not someone else will review it on Main Menu. I heard about it when I was telling people about it on the PC audio list about this Griffin PowerMate. I was telling them what it could do, and they wondered if it was the same as something called the Shuttle Pro. What the Shuttle Pro is, it sounds like the perfect thing that I would need. It's a full interface board for the computer. It has an inner wheel and an outer wheel, and it has buttons around the wheel so that you could set those buttons to perform the functions you needed. Now, it sounds like that's something that I can use, and I'm hoping that the software will be accessible. And if it is, I'll review it on Main Menu, or someone else will get to review it. But this wheel is really good for what it can do. And if I get the Shuttle Pro and the software is accessible, I'll probably use both of these things. I'll probably have this volume knob on the desktop as well as the Shuttle Pro. And I'll use the Griffin PowerMate jog wheel and volume knob for movements and things like Winamp. And then I'll use the Shuttle Pro for very fine movements in SoundForge. So I'm not saying this product is something that can't be used. It certainly can, and it's a wonderful product. But it may not meet everybody's needs. You may need the Shuttle Pro, which is twice the price of this Griffin PowerMate. It's not made by the same company, by the way. The Shuttle Pro is by Contour Design. But I really enjoy this Griffin PowerMate. It feels nice in your hand when you're moving it around. And it looks nice to the eye if you have vision, which I don't, but everyone else around here seems to like it. So it's nice visually, and it's nice tactily, and it has a lot of features. And I hope that they will add something in the software pretty soon that you can double-click or triple-click. And I'm not sure how to explain to them about the keyboard devices, like where it passes the arrow keys not in the same way as the keyboard arrow does. And I don't know how to explain to them about the sliders. Maybe if someone can see what it's doing visually on the screen when they're using their arrow keys or their page up keys for the sliders. Maybe some script writer can do something with JAWS, I'm not sure. But I really like the product. It's about $45, and you can get it from griffintechnology.com, or you can get it from thinkgeek.com. And I think you'll be wanting to get other things from thinkgeek.com, because they have all sorts of interesting things for the computer. And I hope you enjoy it. I sure have, and I hope my demonstration of it has been worthwhile to you, and that you can use it, and I hope that if you're not familiar with your mouse cursor in JAWS, that this demonstration will show you how to use them, and then you can apply these concepts to other programs which need the use of the mouse cursor. So thank you for listening. You can contact me at MatthewBullis@runbox.com. That's MatthewBullis at runbox.com. Thanks for listening.